The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on Stitcher, iTunes, and NFL.com/Shek.
S-H-E-K, Shek, Shek, Shek.
DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles, all now members of the Philadelphia Eagles backfield. I know
is Ryan Matthews, excuse me, sorry, I didn't mean to jump in your intro there, but is Ryan Matthews official yet?
Yes.
I heard he hasn't signed last I checked.
Now listen, it is a done deal. Would I say that? Would I just shoot my mouth off like that? I'm not one to recklessly speculate. Actually, I am, and I have a lot of reckless speculation to share with you, the listener, as we move forward here. I'm alone in Studio 66. Maximum strength! Out to spread my wings at my whim. Momentarily, though, joining us on the telephone will be one of our very favorites here, one of the great football talkers out there, Ross Tucker. You can track him down at Ross Tucker NFL, and of course his great podcast, the Ross Tucker Podcast. He also does the Fantasy Feast with Evan Silva. He will be joining us to break down what's been going on here. Yeah, as I started to say before I was so rudely interrupted by Black Tie, the world, I feel like 90% at least of the football world has decided Chip Kelly is loco. I listened to the Around the NFL podcast, and Mark Sessler called him a clown, and Dan Hanzu sarcastically calls him the genius. I don't understand what everybody, and it's not just those guys, everybody is up in arms about what Chip Kelly's done. Heath Evans, for a couple of years now, has said Chip Kelly's going to fall flat on his face here. Earlier this week, we were joined by LaDainian Tomlinson, and we'll play that for you. It's up on video right now. NFL.com and NFL Now. My 20, 25-minute long conversation with LaDainian Tomlinson is up there in video form. You should check it out that way. Also caught up with Bucky Brooks on the podcast on Tuesday. He had gangbusters insight on why these deals went down the way they did, how effective Jimmy Graham is going to be up in Seattle. Lots of really good stuff out of Bucky. I encourage you, Nate, demand you go back and dig that up. And like I say, the LaDainian Tomlinson video. But again, if I'm getting too confusing here, we'll also have the audio of LaDainian Tomlinson for you coming up. But in the meantime, it'll be Ross Tucker. And so LaDainian and Bucky Brooks were in lockstep with, again, like I say, the vast majority of the football world, which is Chip Kelly is arrogant. He's loco. What's he doing? This makes no sense. He is going to fall on his face. He thinks he can win without superstars. Well, now you look at it. As I tweeted out early in the week and said on the podcast early in the week, he's not done yet. You can't judge a barber 19 seconds into a buzz cut. He looks ridiculous. Give him a little more time, and maybe things will work out. I don't think Chip Kelly is done yet. This is another wide receiver rich draft, so you can assume he's going to add at least one pass catcher there, so it's not as though the cupboard is going to be bare come September there. And in the meantime, look back at what he did at Oregon. He likes a certain style of running back. I happen to think DeMarco Murray is that more than Shady McCoy. I love Shady McCoy. He's one of my favorite runners. He's one of my top three or five runners ever to watch in the NFL. I love his style. I don't know that Chip Kelly agrees that that style specifically suits what he wants to do in Philly. Ryan Matthews in the fold. Darren Sproles. If this is what Chip Kelly wants to do, what's to say he won't devastate? He is attempting to revolutionize. People diminish that too. Oh, he's not the first one to ever do this. He's not the first one. Yes, he is doing unique things in pro football, given the 21st century restraints with the cap and everything else. A lot of it has to do with sustained greatness for a team, for a franchise. Obviously has to do with, unless you're the New England Patriots, who have Tom Brady, the steady hand there for the last 15 years, most teams, to stay relevant year after year, must reboot. They must kick their higher-end dollar figure guys out the door, some of them at least, and reboot with those rookie contracts and cheaper options. To some degree, I think that's a little of what Chip Kelly's doing, although he ends up paying DeMarco Murray about the same amount that he's into Shady McCoy with. I feel, though, let's take a wait-and-see approach with Chip Kelly. I'm not willing to throw dirt on him as an NFL head coach because everyone else has decided he's loco. And by the way, the comparisons to the other people who've tried to do stuff don't hold much water for me when you consider that Chip Kelly's won 22 games in the NFL. He's been in the NFL for 2 years, and he's had double-digit win teams. He's not so absurd and irrational that he's driven this team into the ground. And one more thing on Sam Bradford. I don't know what he's going to be, but running that spread in Oklahoma lends itself to, in broad terms, what he is going to have to do in Philadelphia. And two, he's the higher pedigreed guy. This idea that Nick Foles is better, maybe he's more accomplished over the last 2 years. It's not like 2014 was a great one for Foles. But remember, Sam Bradford won the Rookie of the Year way back when, with Pat Shurmur as of his offensive coordinator. Pat Shurmur, now the offensive coordinator in Philly, so that makes a lot of sense to me. And by the way, one other thing, and then we'll dial up Ross Tucker here. I do another point on this. Of the last 12 Super Bowl champions, 9 of them have had Tom Brady, who won 4 of them, Ben Roethlisberger, who won 2 of them, Peyton Manning won one, Aaron Rodgers won one, and Drew Brees won one. Those are the Iron Five. That is, for the bulk of the 21st century, that is your Iron Five of the most elititudinous QBs in the NFL. If you have one of those, that offsets what other deficiencies you have on your team. You can still make a legitimate run at the Super Bowl in some seasons if you have one of those QBs. If you don't have one of those guys, and I don't think Chip Kelly was going to get any one of those five guys, then what are the other three teams that have won the Super Bowl in the last dozen years? Teams that play great defense and run the ball. Well, now what's Chip Kelly set up to do? That defense is much improved from what it was last season, is it not? Now they add Kiko Alonso back there. They're fixing up the secondary and so on. And now on offense, they're all set to just grind you, and grind you some more on the ground. I don't understand all the belly aching about it. Black Tie, how say you?
I'll say me. Well, check this out.
Elimination
chamber.
Whoa! Before we get to Russ Tucker here. So these are remaining undrafted, unrestricted free agents who, you know, have had star potential at some point in their careers. So
when are the Steelers going to do something? Jordan, I know the Cameron. Steelers never do it, but this is the only bad part about being a Steeler fan. All right, go ahead.
Here we go. Jordan Cameron, Brian Orakpo.
My Steelers just never do it.
Orlando McClain, Michael Crabtree, eliminate one.
Well, I mean, those last two is who it comes down to. Do you want Rolando McClain, who has the big bounce?
He had a pretty decent Cowboys.
Yeah, but he's a ne'er-do-well, so you don't want that. And on the other hand, Michael Crabtree has something wrong with him. I don't know if it's a chronic situation with his foot. He denies the whole thing. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there with Michael Crabtree. I guess I would say
Orakpo also stays hurt quite a bit. That's my boy, but he stays hurt.
I like Orakpo. I hope he's wearing black and gold. I really do think, by the way, that that is a little something that you're gonna hear in the coming days, or maybe it's already happened. I think the Steelers quietly. You haven't heard anything about Orakpo, and you've heard hardly anything about the Steelers. I think OLB, Brian Orakpo in Pittsburgh, a beautiful fit if I ever heard one. I think that that's the way that's gonna go down. Excuse me, I just hiccuped. Oh hey. Justin Forsett signed his contract. He was also a part of our podcast earlier this week. Really one of the NFL's nice guys, and he's been all over the place. That's one thing. You can look at the video at NFL.com. We pull up all five of his teams, and not only does he rate them based on quality of city, the food, the uniforms, and everything else, but he really is. He's been on five different NFL teams in just a few years, so good for him to land and get a nice stable situation there in Baltimore on a good team there. So nice for him, and look that video up. But next week, Black Tie, is that when we're going to release it finally?
Release what? I have no
Antonio
idea.
Antonio Brown.
Oh, no, this is this weekend. Antonio Brown is this weekend.
Antonio Brown was in here a couple days ago, and the time was positively gay. What a great time we had talking to AB, the best receiver in pro football. And that's not because I'm a Steelers fan, because
that's a fact. A lot of jokes, a lot of pranks.
Yeah,
way
pranks.
Way too much butt kissing, though, on your part. So much. I mean, you get at me for Russell Wilson, but this is insane. When I meet Russell Wilson, I talk to him like man to man. You were just such a fan of
Are you kidding me? I didn't talk to AB like a man. I looked him in the eye. I told him what I thought of him.
You swooned. That's what you did.
I did not. I told him. We pulled up a picture of him at the combine, and I made fun of him for that. What are you talking about?
After calling him the best dressed, the best dancer. But just watch it. It's great stuff. And you did a little bit.
I don't know if I said he is the best. I said he's among the best. Is he not among the most fashion-forward guys in the NFL? Is he not among the best dancers?
We'll let the audience decide.
Everybody loves AB's touchdown dance. All right, listen. You know one thing I do want to mention, though? The other video. I knew I wanted to mention one more. The Girl Scout video is up for your perusal, NFL.com. That's also on the YouTube channel. Hey, subscribe to the NFL YouTube channel. Soon there will be a Dave Damashek-specific one. All the NFLs will be up there, all the other Hooey and Applesauce we produce. In the meantime, go and find this Girl Scout cookie one. We talked to the biggest stars in the league, really. Calvin Johnson, J.J. Watt.
Todd Bowles, Bruce
Arians. Lev Bell, Antonio
Brown.
Broadway Joe Namath.
Broadway.
And we rated the cookies.
Jamal Charles.
We did Thin Mints versus Samoas. And I forget, Black Tie, but I bet I would bet.
DeMarco Murray hired us, though. So did Odell Beckham. Just saying.
Is that right?
Yeah.
DeMarco Murray hired us.
Yeah. I think DeMarco did. It was either him or somebody else. I don't know. Well, and a few guys just walk by.
I don't care for that news. No Thin Mints for him in the future. Yeah. But we asked them, Thin Mint versus Samoa, what's the best? And they weighed in on that. But I bet your answer is Samoa, right?
Oh, no, I'm a Thin Mint guy.
Oh, I forgot about that. Good for you, Black.
Samoa's a good. You have one or two. By the time you have a third one, you're kind of tired of it.
Yes, that's right.
It's a nice little fling for a little while, but, you know, can't go home to it.
Yeah, I love, you know what, that the thing about the Thin Mint, forget what they say about the one brand of potato chip, you can't eat just one. Thin Mint's an impossibility. You can polish off, because they give you now in the box, they give you the two long plastic-covered sleeves. If I don't make it through one sleeve, something's wrong with me. I might be sick, you know, take me to a hospital. Cool. All right, let's get to him now. I mentioned it before. I mention it again now. Dial him up there, Black Tie. It's Ross Tucker, at Ross Tucker. NFL is the way you track him down. Let's get him on the phone.
Hello?
Tucker.
Yes.
What's the poop, fella? How are you?
What's up, dude?
It's an exciting week in pro football, even though there are no games. Ross Tucker, I brought this up earlier in the week. How say you on this? Free agency in the NFL now only takes a back seat to the NFL draft as the most exciting non-game sporting event in the U.S. of A. How say you?
I think you're right, although I don't know, man. I mean, the way this week has gone, I think free agency might be bigger than the draft. I know the draft is different because of the hype leading up to it, and it's actually a made-for-TV event that plays out in front of us. But there's something about the unknown and the timing of it and the kind of the impending, we never know when some big news is going to break, the uncertainty of free agency and what's been going on, you know, the last few days, I think might almost trump the draft at this point. I mean, those 5 minutes when there were three gigantic trades, that was the most insane thing I've ever seen. That was almost as insane as you disparaging Samoas on Twitter.
I didn't. Listen, well, I was going to say I didn't disparage Samoas because I like to be politically correct. But you know what? I'm throwing it out the window. Samoas are for children. Samoas are cloying. Why do people like them? Because they have everything on them. Thin Mints, elegant simplicity. That's for a mature taste bud, you see? All it is, some mint, and that's the end of it.
Well, here's the deal, okay? I tweeted you at Ross Tucker NFL. I clearly think that Thin Mints are preferable to Samoas. It's a tough call for me at this stage of my life between Thin Mints and Tagalongs for number one. I mean,
Tagalongs are very strong, and I'm the first one to admit that maybe we slept on them a little bit, and it's unfair that they weren't even a part of this great debate.
Right, but I think it's clear to me that Samoas are third. But just judging by the reaction and some of your retweets disparaging coconut as an entire food product.
That's not me. I like a coconut ice cream.
Yeah, let's not get out of control here and act like Samoas aren't good. They're still, I mean, if there was a box of Samoas in front of me, I would down a sleeve right now. I just prefer Thin Mints and Tagalongs. And that's a lot. This is really, to me, what free agency is about. I mean, you know, there's a guy you like, but you prefer this other guy. But if there's no Thin Mints available, believe me, I'm going to eat the crap out of some Samoas.
Well, like I say, I mean, it's just not for a discerning taste bud, though, because, of course, it tastes fine. What's it got in it? Everything. It's got all food in it. It's got caramel. It's got chocolate. It's got the well, of course it tastes fine because they took the easy route. They did the kitchen sink thing. So what? What does that do? I'll tell you what it does. Remember the dream team in Philadelphia, the Eagles, a few years ago? That's what happens with the Samoa. Give me elegant simplicity. You understand?
I get it. Look,
that's a good analogy I just came up with. Any dream team, they never win because it's too much. You throw too many stars, and then there's conflict. That's what the Samoa does to your taste.
Totally ruined the Miami Heat those 2 years. Good call.
Hey, you just gave me an idea before we got and say we start kibitzing, and I want to get your thoughts on all the free agency noise. But real quick, I don't know if I told you this before, but let me float this for you, Tucker. My pal, Cousin Sal from the Kimmel Show and so on, had this idea for another great TV event. You talk about, you know, we talk about free agency and the draft and all that stuff. The NFL is really good at promoting these non-game things. They even promote the schedule release at this point. How about this? At the end of the wild card round, on Sunday night, the coach of the team with the first with the number one seed goes to a podium and announces which of the two wild cards he wishes to play the following week. That would be the greatest TV event there is.
Yeah, I think you might have mentioned that on my podcast.
I think I did. Yeah, I think I did.
I think you mentioned that on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And, yes, I love that idea. I actually, knowing how much of an auction lover you are when you came on my Fantasy Feast podcast, I think that there's some things the NFL could do with free agency from an auction perspective, that would be absolutely awesome. I mean, can you imagine
auction. Yeah,
if
that
these
would be
guys
great.
Like walked down the catwalk like Zoolander and teams were saying how much they paid, or if there was like a live auctioneer, like what happens. I mean, that's how people sell like stock mm-hmm. and their houses in rural Pennsylvania, where my wife's from. There's an auctioneer. They're like, hey, we're going to sell the house Saturday at 9 a.m. If you want in, be there. And people literally raise their hand to auction it. I mean, that would be unbelievable.
I love this idea, and hopefully it can be enacted in early January of 2016. I assume Kamish Goodell is listening to us have this conversation. Two of the stronger voices in pro football, and so Goodell will probably take note of what we're talking about here. All right, let's talk about free agency in the meantime. If you haven't heard, DeMarco Murray is now a Philadelphia Eagle, Ross Tucker. I have many thoughts on this, but I'm going to start with you. What do you think now that we have not even still the full picture of what Chip Kelly's going for, but we have a much better sense of it than we did 2, 3, 4 days ago?
Well, this is the second consecutive Eagles move that I really don't understand. I mean, not paying Macklin that much, I got not wanting to pay Shady McCoy $10 million this year. I understood getting something back, Alonzo, I got Max. I mean, I understood a lot of their moves. I still will never get the draft pick compensation in the Foles for Bradford swap. The only explanation is that either Chip got hoodwinked or that there was another suitor for Sam Bradford, which drove the draft picks that the Eagles had to offer. But this DeMarco Murray one is really stunning to me. I mean, there's a reason why guys with that many touches always suffer the next year. I think he very much benefited from the Cowboys' offensive line. There's also a reason why the Cowboys.
Yeah, but don't the Eagles? But can't the case be made that the Eagles' offensive line was just inordinately decimated by injury last year and will return? I know Evan Mathis is out there and all that, but still, isn't that the collective of that offensive line pretty good, isn't it? It's a top six or eight offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, yes, it is a good offensive line, but if you move Shady in part because you feel like you wanted some other running back and you didn't think Shady was the right fit or worth the money, I don't understand why the Eagles had to, based on what I've understood, outbid everybody for DeMarco Murray. I mean, $21 million guaranteed. They had Shady McCoy the next 3 years for $1 million. I mean, he had $1 million of this year's, $10 million salary guaranteed. And the next 2 years, you had him at like 6.9, 7.9 for nothing guaranteed. I think I'd rather have Ryan Matthews at $4 million a year than and minimal guarantees than DeMarco Murray at $8 million a year. I'm confused and perplexed, to say the least, by them. I mean, Justin Forsett's getting $3 million a year. You tell me where the value is of giving DeMarco Murray $8 million a year when Mark Ingram's getting $4 million a year in New Orleans, Forsett $3 million a year in Baltimore. I think DeMarco Murray will probably have a pretty good year behind that offensive line. I just think the Eagles way overpaid for him.
Well, the fumbling issues for DeMarco, including last season aside, I get you on this big dollar figure being handed around to these running backs. And by the way, as we mentioned before he joined us here, it's at Ross Tucker NFL. Really does make some good sense. Yes, you bring some mirth and sarcasm in your tweets about free agency, but a must follow right now as these personnel moves are happening all over the NFL, and people go crazy. They get hyperbolic about, oh, it's devastating or it's a miracle. You're leaning, I'm surprised, against Chip Kelly here, because I know everybody's saying, what's wrong with this guy? He seems loco. But to me, the plan, this week we've talked to Bucky Brooks, the scout. We talked to LaDainian Tomlinson, and both of those guys pointed out that Chip Kelly, they basically indicated, well, this is the hubris of Kelly to think that his system will work and he doesn't need superstars to employ it. Well, now he has superstars. Sam Bradford, by pedigree, was the first overall draft pick. Nobody thought anything of Nick Foles, and the jury is still, I guess, probably out on him. Sam Bradford was the rookie of the year. You know, he has the bum knees, I understand, but so you have an improvement at quarterback overall in all likelihood there. DeMarco Murray is not as good in my book as Shady McCoy, but you're an offensive lineman. Isn't his running style more conducive to what Chip Kelly likes to do? And by the way, Darren Sproles is still there, and it's a wide receiver-rich draft coming up here, so I assume Chip Kelly assumes he'll go do that. And don't forget also, he still has Jordan Matthews from last year who in the second half of the year quietly became a bit of a touchdown maker.
Well, I don't agree on Bradford and DeMarco Murray as being superstars. I mean, number one,
not superstars, but at least pedigree. At least pedigree.
Well, I'd rather have Nick Foles as opposed to Sam Bradford. And then when you consider Bradford's missed the last 25 games with two torn ACLs, and he's making $13 million when Nick Foles is making $1.3 million. I think it was a pretty horrendous trade by the Eagles. But clearly, Pat Shurmur, the Eagles' offensive coordinator, believes in him, so they're going with it. I do like the fact that DeMarco Murray is more of a downhill running back. I think there were too many negative yardage runs by Shady, and we were always taught when I was playing that a negative yardage run is so devastating to try to get a first down on that series. But everybody that's just ripping the crap out of Shady McCoy and Chip Kelly's offense, I mean, you know, the year before he led the NFL in rushing, right?
So I love Shady.
He was a great fit for the offense, and all of a sudden in 2014. He's a terrible fit for the offense.
Well, I don't. Are you insinuating that it has something to do with personalities? It seems as though that, I mean, you're there in Harrisburg, PA, in the Keystone State's capital, close to Philadelphia. Can you shed any light on this? What really is now, a year later, with DeSean Jackson, and now you include Shady McCoy, does Chip Kelly, is he some sort of tyrant? Is he Machiavellian, and he doesn't like the lip those guys give him, or what?
I think that he looks at it as, if they're not totally buying in to what I'm preaching, I don't want them around here, especially if they're making a lot of money. And there's no question that DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy have very strong opinions of themselves, which is fine, but also they were skeptical of a lot of the things that Chip was doing, and they were brought up in a culture of the NFL these days, where I think a lot of times when these guys, a lot of these skill guys, they get big money, they think that they're, you know, bigger than the team. And clearly Shady McCoy had voiced his displeasure with some of the things they were doing in Philadelphia. You know what? Kerry Williams did too. That's part of the reason why Kerry Williams got cut. I don't think Chip Kelly wants guys there that have openly questioned his training methods.
All right, we have plenty of time until the draft, and I know free agency is far from done. But right now, fair or otherwise, I put out my NFC and AFC seedings already, and people go crazy when you do that, Tucker, in March. People go crazy. How dare you rip my team 6 months before football is played again? But anyway, just long and short, who wins the NFC East now? Are the Eagles, Cowboys? I don't know about what's going on in D.C., but I think quietly the Giants. How say you?
Right now, I'm still going to say the Cowboys. I'm not a believer in Bradford until I see it. And I think the Cowboys, I don't know who it'll be. Maybe it's Ryan Matthews. Maybe it's a kid in the draft. But I think the Cowboys will still be able to run the ball. I mean, I think Joseph Randle averaged like 6 yards a carry when he got the ball last year. And he got the ball more than 50 times. So that's more than 2 games worth. And he averaged like 6.7 yards a carry. So I think the Cowboys will still be able to run the ball. They still have Dez. They still have Romo, who's light years better than Sam Bradford. So as it currently stands, I will take the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. Now let's talk about, and I do want to talk to you about the Broncos too, as we'll squeeze that in at the back end. But real fast, let me throw something at you. Saints fans are going crazy, and you know, I don't have sources. I don't fall back on, well, this is how when I was playing, that so I can extract, I can read the tea leaf because of my playing days and understanding how pro football works behind the scenes. I just recklessly speculate, you know?
Yeah.
And my reckless speculation is this. Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis are not so daft that they just gave away Jimmy Graham for no good reason. They got a first-round draft pick now at the back end at 31 to go along with number 13. Drew Brees, 36, coming off what for him was a down year. Why couldn't they? Why wouldn't they flip him? Wouldn't Dan Snyder jump at the chance to get Drew Brees in exchange for that first-round pick at number 5? And by the way, they could throw away RG3 if they wanted to. But, I mean, that's the bones of the deal. Or, by the way, the Jets, too. Woody Johnson loves to make a splash. Why not do that? He has those two. Now he has Marshall and Decker in a very good defense. Shoot for the moon right here and now.
I think both of those organizations would consider a trade for Drew Brees. I think a lot of teams would consider a trade for Drew Brees. I don't think the Saints are one of them.
You really think the Saints wouldn't make that deal? You really think the Saints, if they said, all right, we're going to get Mariota, obviously that would be the end game in making a deal to move up to 5 or 6. If they know, maybe it won't happen until draft day, but, you know, because Tennessee at 2 might take them. But after that, it would seem to be D.C. or the Jets that would take Mariota there. Maybe you really think that Drew Brees at this age, without Jimmy Graham now, things in flux down there, what's the point of holding on to him? They're not going to win a Super Bowl in 2015.
Well, I understand that. But first of all, I don't think that they would think that Marcus Mariota is their type of quarterback, number one. Number two, that is a really, really big risk to take. And coming off of what happened last year, you know, I mean, maybe you could argue that getting Mariota would buy them some time, but they have mismanaged that cap check so bad. I mean, how you give Jimmy Graham a $12 million signing bonus last year and then trade him the next year, so you have $9 million in dead money, hit your cap. I mean, I like Mickey Loomis personally, but their cap right now is atrocious. And I still think you have a 2 or 3 year window to be good if you have Breeze. If you have Mariota, you are really, really revamping this whole thing. I'm not going to say there's a 0% chance, but I don't think it's a very big chance. Because that also, by the way, if you look at Drew Brees' contract, that would also be an insane amount of dead money against their cap that I'm not even sure they could pull off. They would have to cut some guys. Now, they would lose his salary, which would help, and that would free some stuff up. But that would be a ton of more dead money to hit their cap. I'm not sure they could afford
it. It seems to me you're smarter than I am. You went to fancy Ivy League school, and I'm a state school product, and you get the numbers better than I don't like math. Yeah, that's my thing. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Addition, I get. You have to learn that in school. Subtraction, you have to learn. Multiplication tables, up to 10, maybe 12, I get. And now we have the computers and the cell phones. I don't need to waste my time with math. Anyway, that's I think we'd be better served having our young people read books instead of learning this math. Why did I have to go to algebra year after year? I'm sorry, I'm getting upset. Black tie behind the glasses.
You know what? There's some truth to this because, like in high school, I remember geometry.
What was that
calculus,
for?
Trigonometry.
To what end?
What was the point of that?
Did I need that? What have I done with it in my adult life? Nothing is the answer. What a waste of time.
What was the point of that? All you really need is a calculator. I mean, that's a pretty fair point. Although, I don't know if you had this out in Pittsburgh. Do you guys have the Mad Minute when you were in third grade?
No.
The Mad Minute was, it was 60 multiplication things, and you had 60 seconds, right? So it was 8 times 4, which, by the way, is 32.
Nice.
And then the next one would be like, 7 times 9, which incidentally is 63.
Nice. You're on a roll, man.
All kind of records at my school. I was unbelievable. Like, my greatest talent in life might be the Mad Minute from third grade. I could do like 45 in a minute. No other kid could get more than like 25. I was the John Nash of the Mad Multiplication Table Minute.
You know what? You're the Dave Damashek of Mad Minute, because when it comes to Damashek in the spelling bee, I was dominant. I didn't get one word wrong in spelling quizzes all through fifth grade. I didn't miss a set. See, I'm not good at the numbers. I couldn't remember fourth or fifth,
but
I know I never missed a single spelling question an entire school year.
No, I won the spelling bee in fifth grade, strong finish in sixth grade. Then I go to seventh grade. In front of the seventh, eighth, and ninth graders, I got hundredth wrong. You know, like 100th? I forgot the D in hundredth, and it still eats at me today.
That's pretty good. You just brought it full circle. We got to get Black Tie. We got to get Tucker back on here, because I like talking about life resume, the things that you're good at in life. I'm the best orderer of food at a restaurant I've ever known. Like, I want to get but we have to really spend a solid half hour on that at some point. Before we let you go, the Broncos are doomed, right? They're in bad trouble, right? Just one word answer. Are they going to win the division still with all these losses that they're taking?
Yes, they'll still win the division, but as I tweeted recently, you got to be kidding me if you're going to have Peyton Manning take a $4 million pay cut, even though he didn't have to. You weren't going to cut the guy, and yet Raheem Moore, Julius
That's right.
Orlando Franklin, it looks like Terrence Knighton, it looks like all these guys are walking out the door. You know, if I'm one of these quarterbacks, Brady, who saw the Patriots let Revis go, or Peyton Manning, if I take a pay cut, I'm going to put it in there. I'll take a pay cut, but you better promise to re-sign this guy and that guy. It's unbelievable. These guys take pay cuts, and then the teams don't even keep the guys you think they should keep. It's pretty unreal.
That is a great point. All right, the great Ross Tucker, everybody. You can hear why you need to follow him. He knows it all. He even gets the numbers behind it, so my reckless speculation he can shoot down. But it is at Ross Tucker NFL. He's got the podcast with Elvin Silva. He does the Fantasy Feast. All your football needs covered by the great Ross Tucker, and great catching up with you, fella. We've got to get someday the dream show for Damashek, not for these guys, but for Damashek. Tucker, Hawk, Ike, Terrence Newman.
That's it.
Good night. Well, that's the end of it. Good night, rest of other TV shows. I mean, that would be the show. We do that 7 days a week to the delight of not just the football world, but the world, period.
The NFL / Life podcast, as one Twitter.
And then we bring in other guys. We talk to him. Listen, no jive. Maybe I did some stuff. Maybe we did this yesterday and not today. I'll pull back the curtain. You can look at the video of this interview with the great LaDainian Tomlinson on NFL.com. Look for it because it's worth it
NFL
to see.
NFL Now as well. Yep.
And NFL Now.
Much better as a video.
Well, it is better as a it's a compelling stuff that he has to say. He had some really interesting conversations
with
Frank.
Watch it.
All right, I'm selling. What do you need to do? You double down on the sell?
Speaking of selling, though, Russ Tucker does a great job selling his show and his Twitter handle. Whenever
He knows how to work that in.
It's automatic.
We should. You know what I want to do next time? Next time we bring him in, I want you to have a ding every time he promotes something of his own. I want you
He's
to ding
really good
him.
At that, man.
Yeah, we should. That would be. I should have thought of that in advance. We need
Such
to do that.
Such a great skill.
But we did talk to LaDainian Tomlinson, and the video is interesting because he does deliver a message to young LT with the cornrows and diamond studs in both ears and all that kind of stuff. He gives a little life advice to him on the video. But in general, he has some great thoughts on the experience of being a free agent. Of course, he went from the Chargers to the Jets, and then we dig in on what the Eagles are doing and all the other big free agent noise there. So here you go. Right now, it is me and LaDainian Tomlinson. Free agency is upon us. Let's talk about all of it, or as much as we possibly can, with one of the all-time greats seated to my immediate left. That's right, it's LaDainian Tomlinson. What's the poop, fella?
Oh, a lot of poop right now, Dave.
Yes.
A lot of poop going on.
Yes, absolutely. I think you said it best there. LT, talk about in general, before we jump in on some of the specific major moves that we've seen so far this week, what is it like? You spend all that time with the Chargers. You're essentially the face of the franchise for so long. It's Southern California. It's lovely. What's it like to then all of a sudden move across the country and start all brand new? What advice would you give to all the guys out there that are going through that?
Well, you change your mindset, actually. Your mindset goes to a place where – you know, it's totally different. You got to earn the respect of everyone in that new building. You have to go in and build relationships with new guys, integrate yourself into their system and all that kind of stuff. So you have to have a different mindset. You can no longer, Dave, think about the past. When I did it, I promise you, I did not think about San Diego not one time.
Really?
Once I closed that chapter, it was over for me. I was moving on to the New York Jets. It was all go Jets. And I never thought about the Chargers.
Well, a fascinating guy right now, one of your former teammates, Darrell Revis, has really redefined free agency from the player's perspective, what he's doing. I don't know who else could do it. But Darrell Revis, as you may have heard, is now a New York Jet after being a Patriot, after being a Buccaneer, after being a New York Jet. So what do we make of all this?
Well, I tell you, man, and I said a few days ago, Dave, I said I believe Revis is going to go back to New York.
Hmm.
That's his professional home. He feels admiration for that organization. Every player does. And the fans on Twitter, you know, they killed me. You know, what are you talking about? Going back to the Jets? Why? You know, he got a Super Bowl ring. You're hating on the Patriots, you know. And here's what I'll say to the fans. Now, you know I grew up in Texas. I was a huge Cowboy fan. You know, and I wore my emotions like I lived and died with the Cowboys every Sunday. And so I was emotionally caught up in the team. You couldn't say anything bad about anybody from the Cowboys. But I didn't understand the mindset of a player until I got on this side of, you know, the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'll say to the fans is sometimes you can't get caught up in your emotions for the team and think about the mindset of the player. And you will probably understand why Revis went back. He went back because he had to finish something in New York that he started. I mean, it's plain and simple.
So there are cynics out there that are saying this is just a shameless money grab for this guy. Why wouldn't he chase another ring with the Patriots? Where do you come down on leaving the Patriots in favor of the Jets. Do you like the fit from the Jets' perspective at that, you know, pretty Tony neighborhood that he's now living in, $16 million annually?
Yeah, well, listen, you know, a wise man once told me that you never get paid what you're worth, and, you know, you either get overpaid or you get underpaid. Think about it. Mm-hmm. And so Revis, we can say maybe he got overpaid just a little bit. But in the Jets' mind, they didn't overpay at all, you know, because he brings something to a team, an identity of a team that Todd Bowles wants and Woody Johnson, the owner, wants in terms of bringing his star back, selling tickets, and all of that kind of stuff. So I think he got paid, you know, pretty much what the market for Revis is right now. I mean, it was a perfect storm for him.
Yeah.
Think about it. And so, you know, I think at the end of the day, this was all a plan for Revis to go back eventually.
I like, from, like you say, Woody Johnson, that's very real. I mean, he has a rivalry with the New England Patriots. They've been the division's bully, so I understand it from a PR standpoint. From a football perspective, though, legitimately, do you buy that the Jets and maybe the Dolphins and maybe the Bills, and really it's that addition – You're not just bringing Revis in. You just took him away from the arch rival, and like I say, the bully of the division. I kind of feel like the AFC has now just all been thrown up in the air. You take Revis away and Browner from the Patriots. Do you think that the Jets or any of those other teams can actually take a run at the Patriots in 2015?
I think it's possible. I think it's very possible, because the ideal to me, and this is the way I think, the ideal thing for you to do when you're fighting for a division. And we know the Patriots have won this division, you know, forever. Mm-hmm. But when you're trying to fight for a division to take it over from a team to win it, you know, the best thing you could do is improve yourself but weaken that team the same time. And so think about, the Jets did that with that move. But also with the move that Miami did with Ndamukong Suh, it's all about stacking pieces on the defensive side of the ball. Because in New England, it's still about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. So everyone in that division knows we have to have one hell of a defense to be able to stop those guys. Because Bill can put together a defense. He proved it last year. Bring in pieces. And let me just say, the table is not set in New England yet.
Agreed.
There's a long offseason. They're going to continue to make smart, quality moves.
Yeah, like you say, yeah, diminishing that other team. Just real quick, because we want to talk Jimmy Graham and everything else here. But real quick, does the ability to how real is it? Because you went, like we say, from the Chargers to the Jets. Are you able to say to Rex Ryan when you're with the Jets, here's what the Chargers like to do in this situation? Can Revis go practically and say, here's what Tom Brady likes to do in this situation, guys?
Well, yeah, you can give some opinion schematically on how the coach thinks, how Bill Belichick may think in certain situations. Absolutely. But at the same time, there's still no for sure thing that, you know, they're going to change up some of their calls, and they might do things a little bit differently from when they had that particular player. Like for my experience, when I played the Chargers, it was kind of a different defense, different personnel, different personnel rather. And so there was nothing I can really tell them. I can say, you know, certain things about what Eric Weddle, how he did certain things, but most of the guys, you know, were moving on, you know.
I guess
from
that's
the
NFL
Georgia.
Of the 21st century. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, yeah, there are some things there that maybe you can contribute to and help the coach, but not really.
All right, let's talk about now the big move in the NFC. Suddenly, the number one seed, the team that's been in the Super Bowl the last 2 years, suddenly got even better with Jimmy Graham. And I don't think some Saints fans are too happy about it, including, I assume, their quarterback is a fan of the team. And I don't know about tweeting this out the morning after Jimmy Graham, your favorite target, gets taken away. Is this tweaking Sean Payton and company?
Well, that might be a little bit of, you know, if I know Drew Brees, you know, and he's showing a little respect. He's kind of telling Jimmy, hey, you know, this is what my family thinks about you. My son is wearing your jersey on the day that you're leaving town. And so it's just to show Jimmy Graham some appreciation from his quarterback.
All right, Jimmy Graham, if nothing else, all right, we can talk about his blocking or lack thereof. But, boy, he is a world-class pass catcher, yeah. Obviously. What do you think this means for Seattle?
I think this means a lot for Seattle, in particular, you know, Russell Wilson. I think this is that next step for his growth and development. This is the type of guy he needs to take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, say what you want, but all of these moves, not having Max Unger moving on from Max, bringing a tight end, a pass-catching tight end, this signifies to me that they're changing the identity of this team away from Marshawn Lynch to eventually move on from him and make this Russell Wilson's team. And so
interesting, because you're right. Marshawn Lynch has a year, maybe 2 years, and then that's going to be it, you would think.
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, so I think, you know, listen, they're gonna rob Marshawn Lynch. There's no doubt about that this year. But they're going to start to make some strides in the passing game.
Well,
that's what this is about.
And, you know, this guy, Luke Wilson, not the actor, the sometimes pass catcher for them, slip behind the defense. How frightening is this to the rest of the NFC to say, we can't stop the football pick and roll of Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson? Doug Baldwin gets behind us sometimes. What's Jimmy Graham going to do to – I mean, they're going to be devastating offensively, right?
I think so. I think they're going to be really good, but – you know, that two tight end system that we'll see with Jimmy and Luke Wilson, I think that's going to start to emerge and become more prevalent in their offense. Mm. In particular, because a young quarterback still, as Russell Wilson is, the middle part of the field is the best part of the field for a quarterback to see. And so I think that's going to help his development. And they won't have to test the outside of the perimeter, you know, too much. I think they can focus in on those two tight ends, that running back, and they got a pretty good plan going.
Egad, yeah, it really is. They are, to me, the clear-cut best team in the NFC.
Think about it. They haven't had
a
first-round pick, but they continue to make moves like this and make runs for championships.
All right,
unbelievable.
Now let's talk about one of the teams that is a would-be contender in the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles. The football world is up in arms. What's Chip Kelly doing? He's insane. I just said it before we started, and because I amuse myself, I'm going to repeat it, LT. I feel like judging Chip Kelly this early on in free agency is a little like evaluating a barber 19 seconds into a buzz cut. Let's wait. I mean, yeah, it looks ridiculous now, but don't we have enough faith in this guy? Or, I mean, I feel like I believe what he's doing is getting pedigree, if nothing else. He gets Ryan Matthews now from the Chargers, a guy who I assume you're pretty familiar with and have some thoughts on.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen. Don't you? And by the way, Sam Bradford, at least in pedigree, doesn't mean he's better at pro football, but he was the first overall pick. He's better than Nick Foles, right? And Ryan Matthews and Sproles and so on.
You know the problem, Dave. The problem is, us so-called experts and football people, when we can't predict what a guy's doing, when we can't predict what a coach, what kind of moves he's making, oh, he's crazy. He doesn't know. That's what happens, you know?
Yeah, right.
And Chip has an interesting mind. He has a different way of doing things. I think we're starting to see that. So like you said, let's just wait and see how the cards play out, because some of the pieces that he's starting to pick up are decent pieces that he can plug into his offense and make it work. Now, Chip has shown in the past that he doesn't really need superstar players in his offense, right? I mean, this was back in college. Now, this is the National Football League, and I believe you still need some superstar players on your offense. Now, Chip has to prove me wrong. So maybe he can do that with the addition of Ryan Matthews and maybe Sam Bradford. And then, oh, by the way, we're hearing rumors that DeMarco Murray might be on his way.
I mean,
well,
if he gets Murray, again, pedigree, all right, injury-prone perhaps collectively, but also, like I say, blue chippers. That was a pun, everybody. All right, because his name's Chip Kelly. You got it? But Kelly Green, blue chip. All right, I'm confused. Let's move on and talk about Frank Gore.
Yeah.
He abandons the Eagles. It looks like that's where he's headed. But instead now, Indianapolis. How about that fit? Gore have some stuff. I mean, we have this conversation for literally the last 4 years. Do you feel Gore has some stuff left in the tank there?
I think he does. I think he would be highly motivated. In fact, I talked to Gore a couple of nights ago.
Oh,
and
name,
you know,
drop.
He told me the reason why he changed his mind. He said he was set to go to the Eagles. But he started looking at some of the moves that Chip was making or was not making. Jeremy Maclin, not re-signing Jeremy Maclin. Some other things, the offense and whatnot, the quarterback situation was big to him. And the scheme. He's always been in that power scheme type of offense. Chip runs the zone scheme. So he has some concerns about that. And how would Chip use him? He never got that defined. And so he knew that with Indy, he knew Pep Hamilton. You know, he knew Chuck Pagano. He knew the offense already, that power scheme. It was a perfect fit
for him.
Yeah, almost
collegiate.
And he couldn't pass up the fact of playing with Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? He might win a Super Bowl next year.
Interesting, and I think the Colts are now the most talented team. Again, we're very early on in this offseason, but I like where the Colts are headed. I think they're the most talented team in the AFC right now, top to bottom. All right, let's skip over. I want to get a couple things real fast here. I like to play Patrick Willis. We're talking about Frank Gore's teammate there. Patrick Willis retires, I believe, LaDainian Tomlinson. As modest a fella as you are, I do think you're going to get that gold jacket sooner rather than later. I don't want to jinx anything. Patrick Willis, though, Hall or nothing. Will he get one?
I think so. He played long enough, but you know, I don't get caught up too much on guys that don't play, have a long career. You know, like I believe anywhere from 6 to 6 years beyond, that's a long enough career if you dominate the game when you play. You know, and this guy, he dominated the game. You know, I remember when I first played against him, he was just a young player. But the way he was able to get sideline to sideline was unbelievable. It was like Ray Lewis all over again, being able to diagnose plays unbelievably. But the thing where he stood out the most to me was the way he was able to cover people in a passing game. That's why he was able to stay on the field three downs. And boy, I mean, he has done it at a high level every single year that he has played the game. So absolutely, he's a Hall of Famer in my book.
Side note that's weird. Two of the most rugged middle linebackers ever, Patrick Willis and Jack Lambert, both have their careers ended by a bad toe. That seems weird. Hey, let's talk about. I don't know if you know in social media these days, there a lot of people are doing this. Tell something to your younger self. Look at that guy with the cornrows and the double diamond studs and all that jazz. What do you tell this character coming out of TCU, fifth overall pick? What are you gonna tell him?
Get the money, kid. just get the money. No, I would just say, you know, enjoy it. It's a short time period of your life playing in the National Football League, but it's definitely an honor. But do everything possible that you can to make sure that value doesn't drop on the field, off the field. You know, a lot of times. I don't know, man. I think, honestly, Dave, I think for me, I got to say I did it the way I wanted to, and I did it the right way. Like, I wasn't a guy that, you know, got in trouble off the field or anything like that. I wasn't a bad teammate. I didn't cause any problems. So there's not much I can say to this young guy.
That's about as much praise as I've ever heard you give yourself, but you really did. I mean, really, I mean, beloved in the community, good guy, charitable, and, of course, one of the all-time best at the position. Real quick, you mentioned you're from Texas, and your team is the Houston Rockets in the rugged Western Conference. It's unbelievable. Lay it on me. Who's your MVP? Your boy James Harden there with the beard. Do I look like James Harden with the beard at all?
Yeah, you got a little bit.
Steph or LeBron? Who's your MVP? Don't be a homer.
You forgot about Russell.
I guess he deserves it.
Okay,
all those triple doubles.
I go 4-1.
Okay.
4 would be LeBron James. You know, LeBron has had a terrific season. But Kyrie Irving has had a terrific season as well. So I think Kyrie kind of takes some of the votes away from LeBron. 3 would be Russell Westbrook. He would be my third. And the only reason why he's not higher is because, you know, he hasn't done it, the whole season.
Exactly.
He hasn't done it the whole season. And this last month has been tremendous.
I mean, it's a mad, the triple-doubles just about every night. Crazy.
My goodness, he is on a tear. And number 2 would be my man James Harden.
Oh.
Yeah,
he would
be number 2. James has had a terrific year, but he's missed some time, and he's done a terrific job. But you can't argue with Steph Curry.
Both these guys have learned to play defense all of a sudden.
Yes.
Isn't that funny?
Yes, but what Steph is doing, man, he really has a command of that offense. He's the unquestioned leader, but he's been doing it all season. I think he's only missed one or two games all season. Mm-hmm. But to have his team at the top of the Western Conference, which in my opinion is the best conference in basketball, I mean, he has to be the MVP.
I'd like to see a horse game between him and Larry Bird. Ooh. That would be the best of all time.
Yeah. Awesome.
Let's replace the whole All-Star game weekend with that, with just watching those two play horse. Well, maybe it could be extra supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is what would have to be. All right, the great LaDainian Tomlinson. See, we talk NBA, it's going on, and yet NFL is the headline in the sports world, even here in mid-March. Thanks for joining us,
you
LT.
You got it, Dave. Dave, oh,
damn a shack. LT, another nice guy, and you know what, Black Tie? Add him to the list of
It's good, man. I like his honest NBA talk.
The TBD show that we just put together has just added another cast.
Add LT.
LT, where are we all going to sit? The only thing I'm worried about is that if we add anyone else, the first, you know who's going to get bumped out of this equation.
No idea.
Who? The man who put it together. The one who pulled all this talent in the first place. I mean, I'm going to be the one who's left on the outside looking in.
After Tuesday.
I'm going to be like Rex Ryan. Now I know how Rex Ryan feels with all these guys coming back to the Jets after he's gone. They're going to be having a gay old time. It's going to be LT and Ike and Ross Tucker and Hawk, and all the good times will be rolling, and they'll be like, how did we meet in the first place? I don't remember. Oh, yeah, it was that potbelly guy. Yeah, whatever his name was. Dan, was it? That's how I'll be.
Yeah, exactly. But I will tell you this. So after Tuesday's podcast, man, Bucky brought the heat. You know?
Bucky Brooks was dynamite. I really encourage you, not because the stuff isn't outdated. His thoughts aren't outdated at this point on some of the big acquisitions. Specifically, what I loved was Bucky going through the X's and O's. If you enjoy the X's and O's, go back and listen to that, because he really details how devastating that Seahawks offense is going to be with Jimmy Graham, and really shines some light on that, as well as connects some dots for you on how these things come to be. It has to do with the relationships. Sam Bradford, rookie season, his offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator in Philly. It all comes together, and Bucky connects those dots for you. All right.
A couple of things before we head out. So, obviously, you know what the MLB is doing with Will Ferrell, right? Have you heard about this?
That he's playing a position or something?
He's apparently he's playing all nine positions, right?
Yeah. I read something about that.
So, my question is, if he had to pick one legitimate movie star, I guess I'm not a big Will Ferrell guy, but he had to pick a movie star to play in an NFL game, who would it be? One. You only get one.
It's got to be a fella?
Do
I want this team to win, or do I want it to
lose? Well, who's most likely, if you had to pick one that could actually go through it? Because
I'd like to see Tom Cruise try being a cornerback again like he was in All the Right Moves. Let's see how he does against Brandon Marshall.
I contend MLB is the only way you can – only sport you can do that in, right? You can't have just a random guy step on an NBA court or, you know, step on an NFL field. But if you had to choose one actor, who would it be?
Well, as a side note, one of the more ridiculous experiences that I've had in over the last many years out here in Los Angeles was on the Man Show. Kimmel and Carolla went to Dodger spring training. And whereas Kimmel understood the reality of the situation, I forget who pitched to them, but they had who was it? It was Pedro Martinez's brother, and I can't think of what his first name was. What was his first name?
Ramon.
Ramon Martinez, right. Ramon pitched to them both. And Tommy Lasorda, as an aside, Carolla, I think, fouled a couple off. And Tommy Lasorda said, like, oh, if I would have had you when you were 18, I could have turned you into a major leaguer. Carolla, the narcissist, believed it. Really believed that was the case. You heard what Lasorda said. He's not joking. That's not a joke. But yes, he came away thinking he could. As I have said many times, if you say you could throw a regular guy out there to play Major League Baseball, no, you could not.
I know.
You could not. Not anybody that is in this building right now.
I agree.
Aside from the ex-NFL players, if you threw them 100 pitched balls, if all I said was, I'm going to throw you 100 strikes, I'm not going to tell you what kind of pitch it's going to be, but they will all be strikes, you would not be able to get a hit if there was a major league, if there were eight guys fielding behind the pitcher. But to answer your question.
But first of all, I totally agree with that. I do think hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports. However, though, if you're going to simulate it and just pretend, it's going to look less ridiculous in the MLB than it would do in the NBA or in the NFL, right?
I guess so. Although some celebrities who are from Canada look not half bad on skates. They might be able to get away wheeling around for one shift of hockey. I'm just trying to think of the football movies and who looks the least ridiculous throwing a football.
Who beats The Rock? I think The Rock, right? Played at the U.
That's not even fair. You can't choose The Rock. He played college football at a high level.
Yeah, but he's an actor.
That's a bum choice. The word. That's not fair. We can't choose somebody who did it. How about this? George Clooney, NBA game. He's a good basketball player.
He is a good basketball player. I was looking that up. That's a tough one. Well, he's not a celebrity.
I almost made some off-color remarks just now with some women who are not shapely, and I was going to make some wisecracks about that. But that's beneath me. But it's not beneath you if you want to make them.
No,
can do it. I'm trying to think of – how about this? Can I go with the guy who played the Mountain in Game of Thrones?
Technically, he's an actor, yeah.
That's right.
He's actually – I think he was trying out for the Colts initially, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. All right, that wasn't a very satisfying answer.
Yeah, not really.
You caught me off guard. Who is the best TV – who is the best TV or movie QB – ever. This is another cheat. If you go back and watch All the Right Moves, the great Tom Cruise 80s movie shot in a steel town near Pittsburgh, that guy went on – his name is Rifleman in the movie. He was the Jets' replacement QB when they struck in 87. He could spin it. That guy could throw it, but he's not anybody you actually know. I'm trying to think. There was that Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes football movie Wildcats with Goldie Hawn.
I feel about sports movies, so count me out.
I want to get a good answer.
But while you're doing that, again.
I know the answer.
But real quick, the reason I don't like sports movies because it just looks fake, like whenever they actually shoot scenes. Speaking of looking fake, Steph Curry's three against the Clippers last week. Did you see that? Where he's like dribbling with them.
Yes. Or
did that not look like a basketball movie?
It looked like a video game. It was unnatural that the ball was in such close proximity
to
everybody.
Chris Paul is trying to reach, and he looks behind him in like slow motion, like, whoa, where'd that ball go?
It just
looks goofy, and it's like, that's insane.
Steph Curry was surprised he took that shot when he put it up. Yeah. Sort of like, I still have the ball. Well, I better do something with it. Threw it at the rim, and it went in. All right, listen. Enough.
Before all that,
something.
It's a throwback. New listeners might not know this, but here it goes.
It's time for Black Tie Shoutouts.
Whoa!
I just want to give a shout out to you.
You're kidding me. The shout out is back. What have I been doing to deserve this?
It's back.
I am living right.
It's back.
The shout out started, I don't think we've had one in at least probably 2 years.
No,
literally.
I'll say a year.
Oh, no. It's been more than a year, Black Tie. The shout-out began many moons ago. Black Tie decided that it was important. This is during a time when he was loath to speak on the microphone, and I wish we could get back to those days. But he didn't like to talk. So he all of a sudden decided one day he did have to speak, and he asked if he could give a shout-out. But then he didn't give a shout-out to anybody he knew. It was just somebody in the service industry that he felt was worthy of accolades.
Yeah, I just came back from vacation at the time. I was in Cancun with some family, and I went to a bathroom, and we had a bathroom attendant.
Yeah.
And then our candy and napkins, and I just thought, like, that has to be one of the worst jobs ever.
It is, I would think.
I felt bad for him, so I figured I'd give him a shout-out, and then...
Any turlet-related profession is probably...
Yeah, that's pretty rough. I mean, we did stuff like traffic aiders. We did, roadkill cleaners.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
The guy who holds.
I wouldn't want to be a podiatrist. That would be I would put that in my bottom three jobs.
The police guards who hold the dogs doing bum sniffing missions. You know, that was Dan Hansis helped out with that one, and there was a lot of talk about that, like who came up with that one. Either way, so I got a new one. Speaking of hoops, the Washington Clippers game, Ralph Lauer, 100, he had an anniversary, Clippers play-by-play guy. Mm-hmm. So post-game, they're doing like a little stand-up special, and the backdrop, for some reason, is cheerleaders. They're just standing there. And obviously, cheerleaders are standing there, and their job is to smile and look good for like 10 minutes. Do you know how many muscles are in the face? Do you know how hard it is to fake smile?
And to do You've that done it again, five, Black Tie. Another five, absurd shout out.
Do that for five.
Cheerleaders. That's who you're giving a shout out to, those poor
do
deer.
Do you know how hard that is to fake smile for even 20 seconds?
I don't know, but I think the only way to find out is to have you try to smile for 10 straight minutes on camera. I think we'll do that. I think we do that next week. I think that's another thing that we need to get to. That Black is... Tie trying to smile for 10 straight minutes is going to be a great little piece of video. We'll time lapse it or whatever they call that. Where we'll just fast forward through it and we'll see if you can make it for 10 minutes. I like that. I like that move. All right, so that's that. Enough with the listen, Black Tie, I love the shout-outs coming back, and now it comes back next week, too. So you have the weekend to come up with a new one.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, we get another shout-out. All right, we'll wrap it up there. It's been a grand week with Justin Forsett, LT, Bucky Brooks, Ross Tucker, Black Tie shout-out, and so on.
Antonio Brown video. Check it out. NFL Now, NFL.com. It was too good to put on just a podcast because you have to watch it to believe it.
Well, there's all sorts of stuff out there now, NFL.com. Just use or on Twitter even. Search the hashtag DDFP. I'm sure you will find some video and or audio gold there for you, if I may say so immodestly. All right. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the free agency as it continues. We'll be back on the other side to update you on it. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice ahead.